In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. Peter looked Jesus squarely in the eye as he challenged Jesus' prediction of what he would do later that evening on Maundy Thursday. Think about that. Looked him in the eye and insisted that he was wrong. Jesus predicted with some detail exactly what would transpire and how Peter would deny even knowing him. Peter had firsthand experience that Jesus was always right. Peter had confessed for the disciples and all the world to hear that Jesus was God in human flesh, God's one and only Son, come into the world to save the world. Peter had firsthand experience with Jesus, but he could not help himself in that moment. He boastfully blasphemed his Savior to his face, insisting that on this particular issue, Jesus was dead wrong. Really. Then Peter tried to prove his mettle by being the only one of the disciples prepared and ready to draw a sword to defend Jesus at the moment of his arrest, cutting off the ear of a high priest's servant. Jesus healed that servant, put Peter in his place, but Peter was still feeling cheeky and confident enough to follow the arrest party all the way back to the place of the trial and even gain access to the courtyard. But then the whole world knows what happens next. Total meltdown. In reaction to a servant girl's pestering questions, Peter, not once, not twice, but three times, not only denied knowing Jesus, but in that third response, he actually called down curses upon himself if he had ever even known the man that was on trial inside. And then a look from Jesus, and the rooster crowing a second time, and Peter, in a hot mess of tears, ran out into the darkness alone to contend with what he had just done. Is it not remarkable, the contrast of that Peter to the Peter we witness in these verses just 2 months after that night? Peter now is the man of the moment, chosen to clarify for all who are willing to hear who Jesus was and is and always will be. Peter and John had been allowed to heal a man who was begging in the court of the temple. Peter and John had been asked by that man if he had any gold or silver to share with him, and they said no. They had no gold or silver, but what they had they would share, and they offered him their hand and stated, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And not only did he walk, but he also leaped and sang and worshiped God for the rest of that day in the temple courts for all to see and hear. This created such a stir in Jerusalem. They're calling upon the name of Jesus in the hope and the power of the resurrection to heal a man and have their prayers answered was not something that only news spread and caused a commotion amongst the people of Jerusalem, but certainly also those who had hated Jesus, who had worked so hard to put an end to Jesus' ministry and Jesus' life. What a moment the Holy Spirit created for Peter to clarify for all of these people, the people whom he challenged that day And every human soul since who has heard these words and contemplated them, to offer that firsthand eyewitness clarification of who Jesus truly is. Let's read them again. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple, and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Peter wanted there to be absolutely no doubt. If they, John and Peter, were going to be investigated, if they were going to be questioned about how it was that they had endeavored this miracle activity that resulted in a man everybody knew was lame now walking and leaping and praising God, they wanted there to be absolutely no doubt. They owned it. They readily were willing to say that they had initiated this miraculous activity, but it was compassionate and amazing power in the name of Jesus Christ that had accomplished it. That's right. That same cowering, quivering Peter, undone by the questions of a servant girl just 60 days earlier, is now boldly and confidently, voluntarily stepping up to testify and teach anyone who was willing to listen that day. Even those he knew could do the same kind of awful, evil things that they had done to Jesus, he was willing. Peter had learned the pattern from Jesus, the pattern of law and gospel proclamation. Lead with the accusation. Cut to the heart with the truth. Don't fear the confrontation that is likely to come with the misbelief of the world that's hearing. Bring the law that leads to truly seeking hearts to quiet, honest contemplation of all that God is saying, the realities of human failure, and then offer them God's powerful, amazing gospel that is the answer to every human failure. Does that shock you? Peter pulled no punches here. You crucified Jesus, but God raised him from the dead. He all but says, you rejected, you ridiculed everything he claimed to be and proclaimed for his Father. But now, his Father has made him the capstone of eternal life and eternal truth. We want to react. Wow, Peter. You tell him, Peter. But it isn't only the people of that first Holy Week that rejected and crucified Jesus that need to hear and contemplate these words. Everyone. Every single one of us who has to listen to the Scriptures has to carefully and insistently think this through for ourselves. Peter was not speaking as someone who had never rejected Jesus. We know that. We've already covered that. By the end of the day on Good Friday, every single one of Jesus' closest followers had abandoned and rejected him. You and I have as well, haven't we? We cannot claim that we have embraced every single thing that God's Word has told us and applied it to every moment of our lives, every conversation, every choice, every temptation, every priority of our lives. When we're honest, we have to admit how little we have to stretch our imaginations to realize that very likely on that first Good Friday, we would have joined the ranks of those screaming for Jesus' crucifixion. Peter could say to the crowd that day, "You crucified Jesus of Nazareth," because he could accurately and confidently say to any human being who has ever lived that he stood before that truth, that each one of us has played a role in the crucifixion, the payment of death of Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus was not surprised by his rejection by every human. He had come to expect that. He knew it all too well, for Adam and Eve had begun such a rejection in the garden thousands of years earlier. And every human soul that had lived to the point when Good Friday morning dawned had followed that same path. It is the pattern of all human flesh. As you and I heard and read the lessons of Good Friday, we recoiled once again in horror at all that Jesus had to experience for us, but we also certainly acknowledged another horror, that there wasn't a single human being that stood up to defend him, that truly did anything they possibly could to make this injustice stop. Everyone rejected him. For only a truly perfect, righteous person could have intervened. And that is alone Jesus' role to play in that situation. His perfection was what proved his divinity. His perfect righteousness, his perfect handling of the Word of God, speaking with authority, the fact that his enemies and all those who hated him could never come up with a single thing to pin against him. He was righteous, he was holy, and he was right in everything that he said, and it fueled their hatred for him to the point of their wanting him dead and gone. And each one of us has to admit that when our sinful human natures that we have inherited by conception and birth come in conflict with the perfect nature, the righteousness, the truth of Jesus Christ, the same thing happens in each one of us. Everyone continues to crucify Jesus in sinful thought, word, and action, every day after day, as long as this world continues to turn. So thank God that Jesus was more than just another human being. He was and is our human brother, but he was also most definitely so much more, and that was Peter's whole point in these verses. He is trying to get them to consider and reflect on the fact that if Jesus was just another ordinary dead man, even if his body had been stolen from the grave outside of Jerusalem, he didn't have the power to heal anyone. Peter was admitting Jesus was crucified. They had killed him. They had caused him to be laid in the grave, but God had another plan. God had raised him from the dead. God had made him the cornerstone, the capstone of his truth, of his saving plan, of his church of history's saving message. They had gotten the death part of it right. They had understood that Jesus had died. But now Peter had to confront them, insist that they consider the other half of the equation, the rest of God's plan. God had raised Jesus from the dead. The one they had rejected had become the capstone, the cornerstone of all of God's saving activity. It is this fact that Jesus is alive again and reigning on the throne of heaven, which Peter clarifies for everyone that was standing before him today and clarifies for you and me today as these words are read again. It is that fact that proves the power he has to offer the complete forgiveness of sins, the promise of resurrection from the dead, life with him forever, and certainly the power to give back the ability to walk to a man who was lame and had begged for help all those many years in the courts of the temple. And Peter's conclusion? His inspired conclusion is salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Those who had hated and opposed and made their work killing Jesus had never intended to ever hear his name again. They thought they were done with him at the end of the day on Good Friday. They likely celebrated over that special Passover occasion. But they did want to know how it was that Peter and John, two of Jesus' disciples, had this amazing power and ability to give a lame man the ability to walk. So Peter seizes the opportunity and makes them understand that they can't have it both ways. That they had been wrong. They had convicted Jesus and condemned him to death for admitting that he was God. They had been dead wrong. And this healing proves it. While Jesus had already returned to heaven, at this moment that Peter proclaimed Jesus' name to those willing to listen in that moment, it was the saving name of Jesus proclaimed that had the power to heal and save forever and ever. Not just the giving of the ability to walk to a lame man, but the ability to hope for forgiveness and eternal life to every human, forever and ever and ever. And these enemies that stood opposed to Peter that day could do absolutely nothing about it. So how does our world today react to this apostolic proclamation of truth? What are you hearing and seeing and reading in your life experience from those who don't want to accept who Jesus is? Sooner or later, just about every day, somewhere, we're going to hear the demand that we relent from the truth as Christians that there is only one way to heaven, Jesus Christ. We will be bullied and belittled and maybe even bloodied. We will be humiliated and we will be whined at until we are willing to agree in compromise that every pursuit of religion, every human invention of philosophy or science, all are equal and acceptable possibilities of ways to resolve the issues of sin and death and life after death, resurrection and eternity. That coexist bumper sticker that you pull up behind at any given intersection. Don't believe for a moment that that's not just about trying to convince everybody of all faiths and philosophies to accept and acknowledge and respect each other in conversation. That is a direct shot at you and me and every Christian who confesses Jesus as the only way to heaven. It is stating in so many words, you and I are wrong. Peter was wrong. Jesus is wrong. So again today, you have an Easter season opportunity to clarify for yourself and in your witness to the world exactly who Jesus is. The voices around you will likely mumble things like, he was a good teacher. He was a loving leader who inspired love and compassion and humility in others. You may even hear them acknowledge that he was one of the most authoritative moral voices of all human history. He was all of those things, but he was so much more. And you absolutely have to allow Jesus to speak for himself and to speak through those who were eyewitnesses of everything that he proclaimed and accomplished. Jesus is the one who said in so many words that he was and is and always will be God. Jesus is the one who told us that he came into our world, God taking on human flesh, so that he might show us the glory of the Father. It is Jesus in his word that clarifies for us that he knew without any doubt before anything of our universe had ever been created that he would have to come into and make himself a part of his creation. Marrying his divine nature that has always been his in eternity with a human nature so that he might place himself under all of the laws, all of the needs of human beings, the laws of God as well, and nature itself to keep all of it perfectly in our place as our substitute so that his perfect life offered on the cross would be the ultimate payment price. And that his resurrection on Easter morning is your receipt, your proof that God accepted that payment on your behalf, and that you also may live forever. He says that he will reign on heaven's throne, wearing his resurrected and glorified human body, still bearing the scars of all of his suffering and death, his work of salvation, until the moment that he determines he will return to end this world's history. And he says that at that moment when he returns, he will gather his own to himself and take each and every blood-bought soul to live in a death-proof new heaven and earth with him forever. He simply tells you that this resurrection that we celebrate is your certainty, that your sins also, every last one of them, has been completely paid for. Clarity in life and death, that's a true gift. The simple clarity of the Scriptures and all that they proclaim about Jesus and who he was and all that he has done for us, that's true eternal gift. And there is no halfway point. It's one of those all or nothing propositions. Either Jesus is every last thing he has claimed and proven himself to be, and you and I are forgiven, and you and I have eternal life awaiting us because of our faith in this Savior that Peter proclaimed and the Holy Spirit has led us to believe in. Or we have absolutely no clarity about who in the world is right about anything. He lives. He is the answer. He is the only name under heaven given by God by which you and I and everyone else will be saved. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.